But we're going to start with Matthew chapter 18 tonight, and we're going to stay there for the entire message. A title, I'm not very original with my titles, as most of the teens would probably already know. It's Forgiven to Forgive is the message title tonight. And I think the Lord has really prepared my heart for this tonight, and I've kind of been battling with what to preach for several weeks. I had several different topics, and this is the one the Lord had kind of settled in my heart, this message. And after talking to my brother, he said, yeah, you probably should preach it. So I said, okay. So we're going to go in there, Matthew chapter 18. In kind of an introduction, sometimes I wonder why the world is so confused and why sometimes when I preach to them the gospel, why they simply don't get it. But then as I read through the scriptures, I read passages like John chapter 13, verse 35, which says this, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye have loved one to another. And then I remember why. So often in Christian churches, we are not demonstrating that we are God's disciples by our love for each other. And I think that is really sad. Now, how can we do a better job? Well, I think tonight we're going to really find out that a great place to start is with forgiveness. And really forgiveness between each other based upon the forgiveness that we've already experienced in our Heavenly Father. First of all, tonight, we're just going to jump straight in. The first 2 points, we're just going to fly right through them because they're pretty obvious. Then we're going to continue on and kind of settle down in a parable that Jesus told here in Matthew chapter 18. So if you turn in your Bibles there to Matthew chapter 18, the first verse we're going to look at is Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. This I simply called, well, the command. Once again, I'm not very creative with my points. They're not alliterated like Pastor Holmes. I'm just not that gifted. So here we are, Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Now, if you're familiar with Scripture, oftentimes this is used for church discipline. But I think the truth still applies here. If someone has a fault against me, if someone has a trespass that I've committed against them, I would like them to talk to me. And so if all of a sudden a whole bunch of people kind of crowd me tonight, well, you know that I've offended a lot of people. But I think, first of all, we need to confront it one-on-one. And I think it's very important that we don't just assume that they know that they've offended you. Because sometimes I think we kind of, as Christians, oftentimes expect everybody to know what we know. And as Christians, many times somebody will say something to me that may have offended me. And in their heart as a Christian, let's say Mrs. Wells told me something that deeply offended me. And we all know Mrs. Wells would never do that. Okay? But let's just say for tonight, for sake of illustration, she said something that deeply offended me. She had no idea that it offended me. And sometimes it's important that I go up to her and say, hey, that kind of hurt. And that kind of stung a little bit. And she may say, I'm completely sorry. I was not expecting that. That's not my intention. That is not what I had. Boom, we're done. That the whole problem is solved right there. But many times, if you've been a Christian for any amount of time, you know that oftentimes that's not the end, is it? Many times as Christians, we don't like to forgive. And I really think that is very sad. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 16, once again, Jesus says, but if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. I think that's a very important thing that we should keep in mind. Sometimes some people that we all know, if I were to go up and talk to them, sometimes they may twist my words and may all of a sudden spread something that's bad, something like that. And so sometimes it's important to say, hey, Pastor Holmes, can you come with me just to kind of be with me and talk? I'm not saying that everybody should bring Pastor Holmes. He's just sitting up there in the front row. Okay. But let's just say that sometimes it's good for you to bring somebody else alongside just to say, look, it was handled and this is what I said. And then the whole thing can be solved right there. I think many times as Christians, we like to hold things inside and we never like to talk to each other. And I think that is very, very wrong. I don't think that is a good way to handle things at all. I think many times we need to talk to each other and we need to encourage each other in the faith. And so often we fail to do that as Christians. So often we say, okay, I'm in it alone, and we forget that there's 100 other people sitting right inside of this room with me tonight that love me, that care for me, that want to help me. And we need to be in this together. If you were to walk outside tonight, you would see many different people in many different lives and many people who are not walking the same life as you. But I tell you what, in this room, here in this church, it should be a place that's a safe haven. It really should be. Now, we're going to skip over a couple of verses that really do talk about bringing it before the church just because it really doesn't apply here. But I want to look at something. Look at Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 and 20. These are some verses that oftentimes I think we take completely out of context And really, we often do this, if you really think about it. Look at Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Huh. We hear these verses said all the time, don't we? That if two people agree, then the Lord's going to answer. But what is he really talking about here? He's talking about, hey, if two of us agree, guess what? God will answer our prayer and really fix the relationship. Right? That's what we're seeing. So often we like to take verses and say, okay, when two or three are gathered, woohoo, this is great. But really what it's talking about is when two or three are talking to somebody about a problem and you ask the Lord to work in that situation, the Lord will work. Don't ever forget that. Many times we like to solve problems in my own strength, don't we? Right? We like to say, okay, I can do this. I can sweet talk my way out of this and we're good. But that's really not the end thing for a Christian, is it? Really what we should be doing is we should be praying for wisdom. And I talked to the teens, and I'm sorry, teens, if you have to hear me again this week. This is twice. But I talked to the teens about witnessing, and I said sometimes when we witness, and it seems like the door just slams in our face, what should we do? We should pray. Because who opens up somebody's eyes? It's the Lord. And in our Christian realm as well, if there's a Christian that has a hard heart, right, they may have said something that offended you. Guess who can open up their eyes too? It's God. It's not me. It's him. And so when we have fault between each other, and it has gotten to the point where I need to confront you and I need to talk to you about it, guess what I should do before I even show up? I should pray. And while I'm talking to you, you know what I should do? I should pray. And when I come back with Dave, guess what? We should pray. Prayer is such an important part in our life. All right, that concludes point number one. We're moving right along. Point number two. I think this is so interesting. I love to really take a passage and really kind of divide it up because it makes you understand things so much more. And really we see here, so Jesus has been talking. He has been saying, okay, guess what? You need to forgive. This is how it needs to work. I love Peter. And look at verse 21. It says, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? So Peter's simply asking, how often should I forgive my brother? And so often we say seven times, woohoo, that's a lot, right? But really in Bible times, in Jewish culture, I've read a lot of stuff on this. In Jewish culture, it was a rule that you wouldn't forgive someone more than three times for an offense. So Peter here is saying, I'm good. I got 2.5 times, or whatever it is. I can't do math. Two more times at least, right? Pastor Holmes knows this. I think of math. But two more times in what I'm required to do, I'm good. But Peter was really missing the entire point. Jesus wasn't saying, okay, you do this seven times, you do this three times, you do this twice, you do this once, and you're good. No, what he's saying is, and we'll see this more, you forgive, and you forgive, and you forgive, and you forgive over and over and over again. And I'm going to jump to the very end. Why? Because of what Jesus Christ has already done for me. And we're going to look at that a little bit later. Now let's look at Jesus' response. This is the third point. So there's only three points. This is the third one already, but we're going to park here for a lot longer, okay? Just FYI. We're not going to leave in like 5 minutes, okay? But here's the response. I think this response is very telling. The first thing Jesus says is nope, right? So Peter says, all right, I forgive seven times. I'm good. Jesus says, guess what? You missed the point. Look at it. Verse 22. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Now, I did math on the calculator, so I know this is right. That's 490 times. Was Jesus saying what you should do is you should keep a paper, and every time Dave offends me, I go, one. Hey, Dave, you got 489 times left, right? And then he offends me again and again and again and again, and I get up to 490, and I say, we're done. It's over. I'm not going to forgive you. Was that what he was saying? No way. Jesus is not saying keep score. He's not saying, okay, I forgave you 490 times and not one more time. No, Jesus is saying do it over and over and over and over again. Every time that somebody offends you, you forgive. Now that is easy to say, right? It's easy for a bald guy with an attempt at a beard to say, right? It's much harder to live, isn't it? If you've ever been deeply offended, it's much harder to live. But we're going to look at something, and this is where we're going to spend all the rest of our time, is the parable that Jesus shares. Because he doesn't just stop with a number. He then tells us a story. And this story should have such great meaning to each and every one of us, because this story is really about us. And this story impacted me more than you guys will ever know tonight, this week as I was studying. Because this story got me. And I've heard this story preached countless number of times. But sometimes when you read it for yourself, it means so much more. Let's look. Jesus shares a parable. Matthew chapter 18, verse 23, he starts it off. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto. By the way, if you just pause him for just a second, when Jesus says that, oftentimes he's going to share a parable, and you should pay attention. Okay? Now look. Unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. Okay? So this parable starts with the king really beginning to look at his accounting books. Okay, and we'll kind of understand this as we kind of go on. But this king is kind of all of a sudden taking some time to kind of figure out where all of his money is invested and where his money's coming from. Now, as we kind of get into this, you'll kind of start to understand this king was a very wealthy guy. Okay? We're going to understand that here in just a little bit. Because I tell you what, if I had a servant that owed me the amount that this guy's going to owe this king, I would be knocking on his door every 2.3 seconds. Okay? That's a fact. Okay? But we don't see that. He brings before him a servant. This servant has a great debt. That's the first thing that we want to look at, the servant. Now, if I can flip my pages, because my hands are like freezing cold. Okay, there we go. Matthew 18:24, we see it. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. How much is a talent? Well, I looked it up. A talent would take someone 20 years to earn in Bible times. So this is a lot of money. Okay? We'll just kind of start there. This is a whole lot of money. How many talents? 10,000. Okay? So this guy that had this debt, if he was making average salary in Bible times, it would take him 200,000 years to pay off this debt. 200,000 years. Methuselah lived 989 years. Okay? Not even close to 200,000. But now let's look at really the absurdity of what he says to this king. Verse 26. Actually, we'll read verse 25 because I jumped over one. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. Okay? So he's saying, all right, you're going to pay and you're going to pay right now. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. How? That's my question. Remember, a talent takes 20 years to pay. You owe a debt of 10,000 talents, 200,000 years to pay off this debt. How in the world are you going to pay this off? I think this guy is pleading with his king, saying, please, 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 let me, give me some more time. Remember what it said? That he's going to be thrown into prison? His wife, his children, and everything he has will be sold? What is he doing? He's really pleading for not only his case, but for his family's case too. You see the really gravity of this situation? And now I think this is the part that moves me the most, is the next verse, verse 27. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Who in the Scripture is moved with compassion? Anybody? Say it nice and loud. Jesus. Over and over and over again, he is moved with compassion. And immediately my mind jumps to my debt. That even if I had 200,000 years, I could never repay. Right? And now this story takes a different meaning to me. It's no longer just a story of a guy that owes a whole lot of money that I'll never understand. Right? I'll never understand that kind of wealth. But all of a sudden, I see something in my life that I can begin to apply. Jesus was moved with compassion on me. He heard my cry. Right? And what did he do? He forgave my debt. If that doesn't move you tonight, you need to find out if you're still alive. Because I'm telling you, when you start thinking about this story, you can find all kinds of applications for us. We're going to keep on going, and there will be more. But right now, I'm already thinking about Jesus. I'm already thinking about what he did for me. Now look what he does. He lets him go. He no longer has him bound. He forgives the debt 100%. Now the next part saddens me. You want to know why? Because I find myself again. Let's look. And I think you'll find yourself too. Look at the servant's response to the forgiveness that was offered. He says, collecting debt seems like a good idea. Let's look, verse 28. But that same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And we're going to stop right there. He finds someone else that owes him money. He finds someone else who has offended him. Right? He finds someone else that has the same problem that he had. And what does he do? Let's just take a second. 100 pence. Oftentimes we say, well, this is nothing, right? 100 pence compared to 10,000 talents is nothing. Let me tell you what it is. 100 pence, this was 4 months' salary for the average person in Bible times. Current U.S. standards would put this at $11,733. Somebody owed me almost $12,000. I would tell you, they owe me a lot of money. Don't ever forget that this story, there is a guy that owes a great debt. And there is a guy that owes a smaller debt. But the smaller debt is not like he owes me a few pennies. This is a lot of money and it could change my life. And I'll tell you something. You ready? Here's some more application for us. God has forgiven us an incredible debt. And guess what? Sometimes there are people that come in my life and they offend me. And you know what? It hurts. It really does. But I have an opportunity to do several different things. Right? I have an opportunity to respond as this servant does. And we'll look at it here in just a second. Or I have an opportunity to forgive like the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I have an opportunity. And I'll tell you something. So do you. No doubt in a church like this, a Baptist church, there are people that have offended each other, even in this room. There have been people who have said things to you that have hurt deeply. I'm not negating the fact that it hurts. But what I am reminding you of is of the great debt that has already been paid to you. And we're going to look at that a little later too. Okay, so I keep on jumping ahead. But let's keep going. Let's look at the servant's response. Matthew chapter 18, verse 28. Once again, we're going to finish it this time. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what thou owest. Kind of intense, don't you think? right? So he comes up to him. He grabs him, okay? Then he picks him up by his throat and says, you're going to pay me what you owe right now. Okay, right? Who carries $12,000 in their pocket? Not me. Okay, you can check my wallet. There's nothing in it. Okay. You know what? This guy, he forgot awful quick, didn't he? But before we start beating him up, let's remember how quickly we forget. So often, and I remember when I was a teenager and when I was a college student, I would read through the Old Testament and I would see the Hebrews going through the wilderness, right? And you see God provide for them. Let's just start at the Red Sea. God parts the Red Sea. Woohoo! Victory for like a day, right? And then all of a sudden, did you just bring us out here to die? Where's the water? I just parted water for you. Do you not realize that I can provide water for you out of this desert? That's what I always thought. Then all of a sudden it hit me. Hey, Dan, how often do you forget what I've done for you? Then I said, yeah, I kind of get what the Israelites were doing. Because so often in my life, I forget what God has done for me. So often in my life, I forget the great debt that he has already forgiven. And I forget the debt that he is still forgiving, by the way. Because guess what? I still fall. Right? Who else can say that they fall? I still fall. I still make mistakes. And yet God forgives me every single time. He never holds it over my head and say, really, Dan? Again. Never says that. He never says, hey, Dan, I forgave you of that yesterday, and you fall again? Really? If he did stop at 490 times, I would be in hell right now. Let's just be honest. If God stopped forgiving me, how I stopped forgiving you, just everyone, okay, then I would be in deep trouble. But he doesn't. If he forgave like I forgive, right? Which is basically, hey, you're going to pay me back for what you did, right? You punch me in the face, I get to punch you in the face kind of idea. Then he would never forgive me. Because the debt I owe to my Savior is greater than anything you can do to me or my family. So don't ever forget what God has done for you. Don't ever forget. I want you to look at something. This is the first time I've ever seen this. This servant that he had grabbed by the neck says exactly the same thing he had said to the king. Did you ever see that before? Let's look at it. Matthew chapter 18, verse 29. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. It's the same thing. Are you starting to get the irony here? Are you getting it? This man had an unpayable debt. And because of his pleading, the king says, it's forgiven. You're free. It's gone. As far as the east is from the west, it's gone. He goes out. He grabs somebody by the throat and says, pay me what I am owed right now. By the way, he had every right to do it. He had a debt. This fellow servant had a debt. He had every right to say, hey, you owe me this. You need to pay me. Right? And you know what the world will tell you? You have every right to hold that grudge against that person. You have every right to be mad at that person. You have every right to stop talking at that person. You have every right to hold that against them. But that's not what God's saying. God's saying, I forgave you of it all, and so should you. That's what he's saying. And we'll see it here in just a little bit. Now, what's the end result here? The forgiven servant throws him into prison until he can pay off the debt. We find that in verse 30. And he would not, the servant, he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Huh. Remember what they would do. They would put him in prison, his wife in prison, his children in prison. They would sell everything he had. This was not just a game for the servant to play. This affected this guy's life more than you and I will ever understand. Now let's look at the king's response. I think this is important. I want you to see something, first of all. So when his fellow servants, look at verse 31. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry. Let's just pause for just a second. When his fellow servants, the people he worked with on a daily basis, the people he saw all the time, for let's say for tonight, it's the people in the pew right beside you. They saw what he had done. They saw that he would not be willing to forgive, even though he had been forgiven such a great debt. And you know what happened? They were sorry. Who do you think for? Was it for the guy who was cast into prison? Or was it for the guy who was unwilling to forgive? I think you can pull both. Because they already saw the problem. They already saw what this servant was unwilling to see at this point. That you have been forgiven a great debt. And you're unwilling to forgive? That's awful hypocritical. You know what, if all of a sudden Frank came up to me and he said, you know what, the debt on your house is forgiven. Frank and I would be best buds. I'd take him out to Applebee's or to Taco Bell. That sounds fun. Because it's cheaper, right? Take him to Taco Bell and we would have us a good time, right? He could order whatever thing he wanted as long as it's on the $5 cravings box, right? And we would have a great time. But you know what, if all of a sudden Frank forgave me of my house debt, and I had given Dave $5, which I didn't, so we'll just throw that out there. I gave him $5, right? And he hadn't paid me back yet. And I go up to Dave, and I say, Dave, I need my $5 right now. I need to fill my gas. He says, Dan, your house was just forgiven. You got all kinds of money. Can you send some my way? Right? That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Do you see how that would be a problem? Right? I'm willing to celebrate the debt that has already been paid, but I'm unwilling to forgive a debt. Let's look at the king's response. I think this is very important. Verse 30, let's finish in verse 31. And came and told unto the Lord all that was done. Right? So they go up to the king and they say, hey, guess what? We got a problem, king. Okay? Got a problem. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? What is he doing? He's reminding him of the debt that he had already owed. He reminds him that this should have caused him to have compassion on his fellow servant, the same compassion that the king had on him. And what does he do? Well, he throws him back into jail. Look at verse 34. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Again, I think about, think about me. I want the Lord to say, O thou faithful servant. I don't want him to say, O thou wicked servant. I don't want to stand before him one day and he say, Dan, do you remember when Pete Berry offended you and you were unwilling to forgive him? You're a wicked servant. I don't want him to say that to me. I don't want him to be able to say, Dan, you failed to forgive. You failed to do what I did for you. I don't want that to be about me. I want to be a person that is willing to forgive every single time. Every time. Now let's finally get to the point. This was not a story Jesus just felt like sharing. It wasn't a story that Jesus said, okay, well, let's just take some time. We got a fire here. I'm going to tell you a good camp story. There was this king. No. Jesus never wasted his time. Jesus never told a story that didn't mean anything. Jesus never wasted a second of his life. This story isn't just a story just because it's fun to read. It's fun to read about a guy that is forgiven a great debt. No, this is a story that was meant to prove a point. The point, we've been talking about it all night. The king, very simply, is Jesus. The forgiven servant is each and every one of us. And the underservant, the fellow servant, well, that's the people beside you, including your spouse, your children, anyone. I want you to understand that we've been forgiven a great debt. One of my favorite verses in Scripture is Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. It says this, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. You had all of your sins written on a piece of paper. Right? He blotted it out. Then he took it and he nailed it to his cross. Symbolizing it's done. It's paid. Everything you've ever done. Every wicked thought you've ever thought. Every word that you said that you shouldn't have said. Every moment that you responded in anger. Every time that you have said something to a believer that you shouldn't have said. Blotted it out. And nailed it to his cross. Our debt simply is sin. The Bible's very clear. There's no way I could pay for it. Ever. There is nothing I could do that could ever pay him back. Let me tell you something. There may be people in this church that have hurt you so bad that there is nothing they could do that could ever repay you. But we should be willing to forgive any sin that comes our way. Why? Because he already did. Whenever it's hard, remember that your debt has already been forgiven. Remember that whatever they did to you cannot compare to what Jesus went through to forgive you. Let me tell you a story tonight, and with this we will end. A story that's very dear to my life because it's my sister. My sister Crystal made all kinds of mistakes. I'm not going to get into them. You know why? Because he forgave it. But I'll tell you something. It was hard for me to forgive her. It was hard for my mom and dad to forgive her too. Finally, the Lord smacked me upside the head. He said, Dan, what do you think you're doing? If I can forgive her, you can too. If God can forgive us, if God could go to a cross to shed his innocent blood for my guilty, I can forgive anybody for anything at any time. You want to know why? I just got to be reminded of what he's already done. I think if that servant would have just taken a moment, instead of running out and grabbing that guy by the coat and grabbing him by the throat, and he would have just said, I got a lot of freedom. If we would have just remembered his bonds for just a moment, he would have not messed with that fellow servant. If he would have just thought for a second that it would take me 200,000 years to pay that off, I would die in prison. I would never see the light of day again. If he would have just thought about that for just a second, it would have been much easier to forgive $12,000. I'm telling you, Christian, I don't know what's going on in your life. There's no way for me to know. I've been here for a year and, I don't know, some change. 3 months, 4 months, I don't know. I've lost track already. I can't do math. I don't know what you've already gone through. I don't. But I'll tell you one thing. God does. And I'll tell you something else. He's already forgiven you. And by the way, just for a side note, God's already forgiven them of the trespass against you. Right? So Pastor Holmes says something bad against me. Right? And he's a Christian. I know it. Guess what? God's already paid for his sin. He's already forgiven it. So my forgiveness is just earthly forgiveness. Right? But God's already forgiven him. So just for a second, just say, okay, it's already been forgiven. I just have to say, I forgive you. Pretty simple, right? Look at your neighbor. You ready? Let's do a little practice. You ready? Look at your neighbor, everybody. Mike, Bob, you look at each other too, okay? All right, everybody look at each other. Ready? Say these words. Sorry, Mrs. Wells, you can say it to me. You can say it to Roberta. Oh, there you go. Roberta, I'll say it to you. You ready? I forgive you. Okay, everybody say it. You ready? I forgive you. How easy was that? Right? That's all it takes. But sometimes, you need to get right with God because of your lack of forgiveness. Sometimes you need to say, Lord, I am sorry for not being willing to forgive. Tonight, this is a great place to start. Let's end with one verse, John 13:35. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. How did God demonstrate his love? His forgiveness. The world is looking for you to be a real disciple, to show his love. And may it begin tonight, right here. With every head bowed, every eye closed, musicians, you guys can come on up. We're going to pray. After the prayer, then we're going to have a time of invitation. I'm not going to force you to come. That's between you and God. But I think a lot of us should be here. Well, let's pray. Let's ask God to allow us to have his kind of forgiveness tonight.